is Jared the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. You still got about 40 minutes to come on by and register to win a pair of tickets for tonight's game. Come on by. Again, the Predators have arrived in the building, Floyd. The Gold Walk. Crispy will join us in 30 minutes. And, Floyd, I was down in the locker room this morning, and I got a chance to chat with Matt Duchene and with everybody else in the media. And talking to Matt Duchene about expectations. And I think Duchene's going to be fine. I think that the problem is, though, is the fans for 3 years have been sold a belief that Matt Duchene is the savior of the Predators, and he simply may not be that good. I don't know. But anywho, Matt Duchene comes in tonight. And I was just saying to you, you think Laviolette starts him tonight so that when they announce him during the starting lineups, the place goes bananas because they've wanted Matt Duchene for so long? But what if Matt Duchene doesn't score for the first game? Or the first 5 games? Or the first 7 games? And gets off to a slow start. How's that going to affect him? How's that going to affect the team? And I asked Matt Duchene about that today, about the idea of, okay, you know, how badly do you want to get off on a good start because of everything that was associated with you signing with the team?
How do you make sure you don't put pressure on yourself early in the season to kind of make an impact? Because the fans are so excited about you being here. You're so excited about being here. So how do you make sure you don't put too much pressure on?
Well, I mean, I've had, when I got traded to Ottawa, I had just an absolute terrible stretch when I got started there. So after dealing with that, I feel like I can handle kind of anything. And then after that, it was great. I mean, I played probably the best hockey of my career while I was there. And I'm looking forward to, no matter how the starts or finishes, you know, getting better each game. And I feel like my best hockey is still ahead of me. And you know, I know that I want to give it to this team. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to be good, but I've gotten a lot better at dealing with that over the years and knowing when to relax and knowing when to bear down. And for me, it's always taking a foot off the gas a little bit because I'm that type of person to go a little too heavy on it sometimes. So you learn to manage it, you know, 11 years in. So I'm excited to be a part of this team, and I want to bring my best every night here.
Floyd, what do we think? One, what do we think the expectation level on Duchene is going to be like? Two, how do we think the fans are going to react early? And three, how important is it for Duchene to score? Because even though Duchene said, hey, I've been in the league 11 years, I know how to handle this, you cannot tell me that he could go through what Kyle Turris goes through and it be okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have some giant expectations. And I think the thing that makes it harder, and I'm not sure anybody can quantify this, because I'm not sure anybody's been through it. But, I mean, this has been 3 years coming. It's not like when he got traded to some of these other places, it's a matter of a trade deadline. Okay, here's a little discussion, a little talk. Okay, trade happens. You're there. Go. Well, this has been for 3 years the only name, not the only, but the top of the list of every name that we have talked about, both, you know, in the off season and in the trade deadline every year. So I think that is the part that is going to really magnify what's going on. And that's the part that concerns me, because I'm not sure that there aren't a lot of people out there that in their mind see this as, like I said before, I mean, this is going to be a 40 goal, 100 point guy that's going to come in and, you know what, we're changing from getting a little bit more offense and maybe a little less defense, and he's going to lead us to be the highest scoring team in the NHL. You know, I mean, I just don't know where it's going, but all of that concerns me.
I think if he doesn't score early, I think the fans are going to get really restless. You know, the fans can tell me whatever they want to tell me, but they are expecting him to be the savior of the team.
Oh, yeah.
That all the scoring woes that they've had, the power play issues, that they are expecting him to come in and save the team. And I got to be honest with you. I kind of think old man Poyle's doing the same thing, too. Like, I think Poyle's so obsessed with this guy because he's always thought that if he brings Duchene in, Duchene is going to just change everything. Because as a GM, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you can't get that obsessed with a guy for that long just because he's a nice player.
Well, yeah. Now, you can get obsessed with a guy that's an all-star.
That's,
you know,
my point.
The best player out there, yeah.
Yeah, so if you think this guy's going to come in here and change everything you do,
yeah,
you can get obsessed about him because, like, I'll use Peyton Manning as the example. Like, when Bud Adams wanted the Titans to sign Peyton Manning, And Mike Reinfeldt was like, oh, I don't know if we need to sign Peyton Manning. By the way, good call, Mike Reinfeldt. But Bud Adams was obsessed with signing Peyton Manning because he looked at Peyton and thought, if I get Peyton Manning, we're going to have a chance to win Super Bowls, and he's the greatest, and he's going to sell tickets, and it's bringing in Peyton Manning. And that's why he was so obsessed about it. And I look at David Poyle, and I'm like, David Poyle was obsessed with Matt Duchene, which then led to all the speculation about Matt Duchene wants to be in Nashville. Nashville wants Matt Duchene. Nashville's going to try to trade for Matt Duchene. Nashville this. And then you get the guy, and it's not that I don't think Duchene's going to get the job done. I think he is going to get the job done. But if he doesn't get the job done right away, these fans are going to start freaking out.
Well, and in my mind, getting the job done is one level, you know, whatever that level is. Okay, you're the second line center. What do you have to do as a second line center? Well, you got to do this and distribute, and you got to, okay, fine. He'll do that. He'll get his however many goals and get his points. The part that concerns me is because of all this buildup, they're going to expect 50% more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he, what did he score last year? 31 goals?
37, I think.
37 goals?
31. That's all right.
Yeah, 31, I thought. So he scores 31. Well, they're going to want 41 or 45, you know, because that's what he's going to mean to us. If he just comes in and gets his 31, that'll be, you know, more than doing your job. But I think we're going to expect him to be more than all of that, and that concerns me. Because I'm not sure he can live up to all that. And consequently, you know, even though he's doing what he was brought here to do, there are going to be those that are going to look at it and go, no, that's not good enough. That's not why he's here. Mm-hmm. He's here to get us the Stanley Cup, to win the Stanley Cup. That's why he's here. And I'm not, you know, that's not, although he's a giant cog to it, that's not the reason. You know, he wasn't the end-all to be-all, the answer to all the problems. So that's what concerns me.
Well, it's like PK, right? Like when they were winning, everybody liked PK. But then when they stopped winning, everybody turned around and blamed PK. The power play was a mess last year. How's that PK Subban's fault? But it was. The fans wanted PK out of here. PK, we must have taken 500 calls last year about PK Subban.
Yeah.
About every day, someone was like, did you see that goal Subban gave up yesterday? That wasn't his fault. Guy, yes, it was. I can't believe Subban. And I think he's going to be the same way. That is that if they win, they're going to love Duchene. Love everything about him. But if they lose, everything will be his fault. And I just don't think he's the quality of player. And I think Duchene's a good player. I don't think he's a Superman, though. But regardless of however anyone wants to say they don't look at him as Superman right now, or that they don't look at him as the savior of the team, I got the data from the summer of the day he signed and came on our show that tells me a lot of people think he's the savior of the team.
Oh, the fans think he is. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm not talking about every fan. But I think if you just ran one of your polls, you know, I mean, I think that they would find that the majority of people think that he is going to be the guy to get us over the hump.
Let's take your phones, your thoughts, expectations on Duchene. How do the fans feel? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your Preds calls next. Crispy at 4:30. The home opener is today. Live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 again.
It's a new place, season opener. You said you've got to experience how this building gets during the preseason. Do you have to learn to kind of temper your emotions and do anything to calm down?
No, I don't think so. I think my first game here in preseason felt like my first game. That was kind of I've had three games now, and I've played in this building as a opposition. It's not like I've never, ever played here, and I've always liked playing here on the road, even with the crazy crowd on the other side. And so it's going to be nice to have it on our side tonight. And I've played against Minnesota so many times in my career. I know what they're about, and because it's from all those years in Denver. And you know, it's going to have a. It feels like weirdly comfortable for some reason. It doesn't feel as foreign as other experiences I've had.
I love Matt Duchene, but the idea of, I mean, I played three preseason games here, so I got that under my belt, so I'm good. Like, Matt. Like, that's not the same. That's not the same. Jared of the GM live out at Bridgestone Arena. Crispy going to be joining us coming up soon. Let's go to your phones on Matt Duchene, unless you have a thought, Floyd.
No, go ahead.
By the way, how excited are you, though, to see Duchene tonight? You know, power play, everything. I mean, I...
Two things. Yeah, I mean, there's only two things I'm going to be watching for, to be honest.
Duchene in the power play?
There you go. That's, I want to see those things.
Not Dante Fabro?
No, although I'll be happy to see him. But I'll be interested. Tonight is a good sports night. There's a lot going on tonight.
Let's go to your phones. Bryce is up next on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Bryce.
Hey, guys. So, first day Duchene signed, I called the show and said, I hope he's not here just to be in Nashville. I hope he brings his 75 points with him. But if he doesn't, I'm going to be the first one calling the show and saying, I told you so, because it was the day of. I don't think he's here for the right reasons, but if he does, I will eat my words, and I hope he does. So I will hang up.
Thank you for the call, Bryce. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I care so much about the Duchene wanting to be here in Nashville thing, only because I don't care about things like that. But it does help you in terms of the salary cap number because he gave you a deal. But I look at that as maybe it motivates him to play better, right? Like, he wants to be here, and he's wanted to be here for so long, and he's here. And maybe it puts pressure on him, but I don't think it's going to be like, oh, now I'm in Nashville, so I'll just party every night and not care about hockey. And remember, Floyd, he came on the show when he signed and was like, look, I am a hockey player. This idea about me and country music and everything that everyone makes me, that's great. I'm a hockey player. This is a hockey deal I signed. So I'm not too worried about Duchene getting all fat and happy about being in Nashville.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't see that. Now, again, I don't know the man, so I don't know much about him. But I don't see any reason why he would all of a sudden do that. I mean, getting to enjoying where you're living doesn't mean that you quit playing. You know, you can do it all.
Well, I think too. Like, I'm more worried about him putting pressure on himself to perform. Because he's wanted to be here so bad.
More so than I am about
him not showing up and getting fat and happy and things like that. Nicholas is up next here on the Preds. Thank you for calling live out at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Listen, yeah, I heard your last segment. You're right. Every time something happened, it seemed like PK got blamed. I mean, Floyd, when Mariota got injured last season, it was PK's fault, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. I hope that doesn't happen with Duchene unless he deserves it. But I wanted to hear what your thoughts were. Do you think it was a wise choice to trade for Duchene, or do you think it remains to be seen? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Nicholas. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it now. You're going to – look, if the defense falls apart, and that's why I brought up Fabro when you were talking about you want to see Duchene in the power play. If Duchene scores a bunch in the power play – is operational and the defense is as good as they've always been, which sometimes I think, honestly, everyone makes a big deal about the defensemen. I think the defensemen get a big boost from their goaltender. Like, I think that their goaltender makes them look good, like makes them look better than they are, especially Ellis. But if the defense falls apart and Duchene doesn't score, everybody will say it was a terrible decision.
Well, it was interesting. My wife and I were talking about this last night, strangely enough.
Because, that does not sound like something you guys were talking about.
No, because when we first started doing the show, and I can't remember who we played, I can't remember the results, I can't remember anything else, but we were losing the team, whoever the team was, because they could score. And we couldn't. And Sal kept saying, well, why don't we? I said, we're a defensive team. We don't necessarily, you know, have a bunch of that. We're more defensive. And I can remember coming to the show the next day and saying, hey, why would you not find a way to score more goals? Well, we're defense and we're the, you know, and I'm going, yeah, all that's well and good. But if you can't score goals, none of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going the other way. Now we're saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and score more goals.
Well, wasn't it Adam Vingan wrote an article last year where the Predators last season had allocated the most money in the league to forwards? Like, the most percentage of salary cap space dedicated to forwards last year was the Predators, and then they trade a $9 million salary to go get an $8 million salary to go be a forward from a defenseman? So yeah, they're even more so in on doing that with the forwards and stuff like that?
But spending money doesn't necessarily mean you're getting... production.
No, and that's the problem. If like if Kyle Turris wasn't bad, and if these guys carried their weight like they were supposed to, you never would have had to get Duchesne. You know, I hope Granlund, like I'm optimistic that Granlund will actually have a good year. Because now he's playing on a line where he's going to be asked to distribute, and the other two, Duchesne and Forsberg, are going to be asked to score. So Granlund doesn't have to come in and be a scorer. Granlund can be a creator, which is really what he is. So I am optimistic that Granlund can come in and have a good year. But Turris and these other guys, I got no faith in. You know, I got no faith. I mean, they put Turris up on the top line in the preseason in hopes to get him going, and now he's back centering the fourth line. And Peter was asked today about that decision and said that, well, Craig Smith played really, really well, so that's why Craig, and I'm paraphrasing what Peter said, but that Craig is the reason why Turris has been dropped to the fourth line to start the season.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Bruce, up next on Matt Duchesne. Thank you for calling Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think you're right. Duchesne's a veteran. He knows what to do. His job is to make Granlund better. He needs to make Turris better. And when we're going to have injuries, you're going to bring up Tolvanen and all those young guys, and that's what he's there for. So thanks. Let's go get one tonight. Bye.
Thank you for the call. I cannot wait to see what they do with Pitlick and Tolvanen. I think Pitlick is the first guy to come up. I think Tolvanen's the second guy. Because I think they think Pitlick is more advanced and Pitlick is pretty good. My thing is, are they giving some of these guys like their last chances? And by that I'm really referring to the Turrises and then hey, after a while, if Pitlick or Tolvanen lights it up down at the AHL and we don't have a spot for him, I'm going to create a spot for him kind of thing. Or do you have to wait until somebody gets hurt before they give those guys a chance? And then when those guys get up here, are they going to be what the Preds have sold us that those two guys are?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as tourists, I mean, it's not a matter of when you want to or if you want to. It's a matter of can you?
Mm-hmm.
And until they get the can part of it, yeah, we can do that. Then I don't think any of that matters.
Can you just scratch him? You know, call up somebody. The problem is you don't have a center on the fourth line if you do that because you've gotten rid of because Gaudreau's gone to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But if you were to do something like that and then put somebody at center and
I mean, if you're doing that, you may as well just cut him. Mm-hmm. Because if you're scratching him, you're not going to be able to trade him. He's not going to have any trade value. You
know? I know, but I can't cut him because then I got to eat that money.
Well, what are you going to do if you scratch him?
Mark is up next on Matt Duchesne. Thank you for calling. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. What's up? My take is I'm not worried about Duchesne. I think he'll get his 50, 60 points. That's not what worries me. I just don't think it's going to be enough for the fans. I think they're overlooking the big holes in the team. Like, they're really talking about putting Turris on the first line, possibly. We know he sucks. He hasn't done anything. Granlund, they keep talking about past history. Well, I hope so, but I mean, look at Kyle Turris. He's done that. You got Fabro moving up with Ekholm, so I think Ekholm's going to have to be more offensive. Now that takes away from your third D pairing. I'm not worried about Duchesne. I think he'll get his, but it's the other holes that scared me. Just kind of want to get y'all's thoughts on that. Thank you for the call.
There's no doubt. The guys last year that didn't play well enough have to play better. Doesn't matter how good Duchesne plays. If the guys last year that didn't play better don't play better, you cannot go into a playoff series and have Rocco Grimaldi be your best player and expect to win.
Yeah.
And so I am in total agreement with the caller. That now, the Turris thing, again, I think they were hopeful that maybe something could happen with Turris, and that's why they tried him out there. But Laviolette, I think, has seen enough of Turris on the first line because, again, he's centering the fourth line. Now, Peter will tell you that it's because Craig Smith has played so well that they've got to put Craig Smith on the first line. But, yes, generally speaking, and Ekholm's going to have to – and Ellis has to play like – I mean, I know a lot of people got mad at me when I talked about how bad Ryan Ellis was last year, you know, swimming around like a goldfish in a fishbowl. But I didn't say that because it didn't happen. So he's going to have to play better. Everybody knows it. His attitude's going to have to be better. Everybody knows it. So the guys that are out there are going to have to play better. I think we can all agree on that. You know what else we can agree on?
What's that?
Crispy is going to have some fire.
Oh,
and he's coming up next. Live from his bar. Pete and Terry's Tavern. Terry Crisp will join us to get us ready for opening day. Jared and the GM. Let me tell you about my buddy, TJ Anderson. That's right, TJ Anderson. TJ Anderson Homes, part of Benchmark Realty. TJ is a huge fan of Jared and the GM. He's also a huge Preds fan. And he's just a regular guy like you, except he is an expert in the Nashville market. If you are looking to buy or sell your home, you got to go with my guy, TJ Anderson. That's right. TJ Anderson Homes, he's been here so long, he knows the market in and out. So while you think something might be a good deal, TJ will be able to tell you, you know what, that's a little bit too much. Let's wait. Let's see what we can do. I've seen TJ do it with so many people, and he can do it with you. Also, if you're looking to sell your home again, and I've told the story, TJAndersonHomes.com has thousands of people going there every single day. So go to TJAndersonHomes.com. List with TJ so those thousands of people will see your home too. It's as simple as that. If you don't know who to trust with buying or selling homes, TJ Anderson is your guy online, TJAndersonHomes.com. TJ Anderson, part of Benchmark Realty, my guy, TJ Anderson. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 again. Jared the GM live at Pete and Terry's Tavern, and we're joined now by the proprietor of this establishment, one Terrence Arthur Crisp. And the people are excited to see Terry Crisp. Terry Crisp on Jared the GM, brought to you by the Highlands Group. All right, Crispy, let's start with this. We started the show on this, and I want to know, is this team still a cup contender?
Yes.
Why?
Without hesitation. Because they're as good as they've ever been. They still have Pecorino, number one. Cyrus coming on strong, number two. Our defense core, in most instances, matches up with anybody in the league. And I was listening to you on the way in, and with the addition of Mr. Duchesne, that gives us, for the first time, in my opinion, in a long time, two first lines that can go out, and other teams have to worry about two lines shutting down instead of just the one Johansson's unit. So, yes, I feel good about our hockey club.
Okay. What makes you the most optimistic that you saw during training camp and the preseason going into tonight? You saw that you said, you know what? I feel like this team will be able to hang their hat on that, except for the goaltending, because I know that's always where you will go if I say something positive.
I know you're going to yell at me. Coach is, or GM's going to know I'm talking about this. To me, it's a gut feeling. It's intangibles. And I walk around the dressing room at training camp. I watch the workouts. I watch the exhibition games. It's got a whole new attitude to what it ended up last year. These guys still feel the sting. They feel the sting. You ask them, that early exit by Dallas last year still is bothering them. I love that. That's the first thing I'm hanging my hat on. They want to rectify that. They feel their. Remember, wasn't it last year they said, keep us together? And we can accomplish this and push the mountain. Well, we knew what that happened on that one. So they also now look back and say, you know what, guys? We opened our yaps last year. This year, let's keep it where we know where we're at, what we're doing. And I watch their drills. I watch their workouts. And they're flying. They've got that little jump to them. And, GM, you know, you can't put it in words or that. But if you hang around a team long enough, you get the gut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. From a technical standpoint, what's the part of the team that you are excited to see go out and perform?
Offense. I think this year we've got a bunch of guys now with adding Duchesne. And he's not the savior. I heard you talking about it. And let's don't put the whole ball on his back and make sure that he's the only guy.
Crispy, you can say that.
Everybody needs help.
I'm with you, Crispy.
I know. I know what you're
going to
say. I know what you're going to say. The fans have been heard up. And as a team, that's what you do. You take your stars, the guys in the world. And you want PR out there. You want your fans knowing. You want the press to know it. And Duchesne was the flavor of the month when we were coming down, wanted to sign him for London. He's a heck of a hockey player. We've got ourselves another heck of a good hockey player. But he'll be the first one to tell you, and I heard him tell you. He's been 11 years in the league. He knows what it's all about. He knows what it takes. He's done how to pace myself, et cetera, and so forth. But you're right. The proof is in the pudding. And we can yap all we want. But let's just see what kind of a start we have.
Is that in the NFL, the opening day is gigantic, is really big. We only got 16 games. If you play 82 games, is the opening day as big and still as exciting?
It is if you're a fan. And if you're a real true fan, it is because they've been waiting all summer.
Yeah.
Especially if you get an early exit like we did last year. They've been waiting. They want to see what the attitude, what the players have turned around, who's coming to play, what the new guys look like. Do we have a couple guys in Milwaukee going to do it? Yeah, these are all the questions they want answered. So they're coming to the first early game. The first game tonight, I think we're raising a banner, if I'm not mistaken, on the one, whatever it is. The fans of it. You know what? The one thing, and you were in sports all your life, you want to give your fans, and I've told you this before, you give them hope. And the first game is hope. How do we come out of the gate? How do we handle a team like Minnesota who doesn't like us? They go head-to-head with us, and we'll see. How do we answer the bell? That's what the fans are excited about. Plus, it's a nice, cool place to be in when it's 98 degrees outside.
Yes, it is.
Crispy, I believe Peter Laviolette made a coaching decision not because of you, but it wouldn't surprise me if he made it because of Crispy. And that is Craig Smith on the first line. Now, I get that what Peter's trying to do is have two number one lines, and Granlund is more of a creator than he is a scorer, so you put him with Forsberg and Duchesne, who are two scorers, and you say, Granlund, you create, those two score. I like that mix. Craig Smith on the first line. He tried Turris there, but now they got Craig Smith up there. Is Craig Smith, now I believe that Craig Smith is a borderline top six forward in the league. I'm not as sold on him as you. Can Craig Smith really do this on the first line with Arvidsson and Johansson and them not drop off what their contributions are?
Let's put it this way. This is his chance to prove it. And being the athlete that he is, he's getting a shot at what he has to do. But I'm not sure if the one who stirred the puddle this morning, because I wouldn't doubt you, when they said the first line and the second line and that.
That was Joe Extra.
That wasn't you, eh? You sure I can't pin that one on you? And they said Coach Lav says, don't be giving me this first line, second line. And you know what? He's right, because when you just said the first line, I don't consider Johansson's unit ahead of Duchesne's unit. But anyway, I would put them on an even keel.
No, I would put Duchesne, Forsberg, and Granlund ahead of them, only because I think the best player is Forsberg.
There you go. But we got two lines now that the other teams have to worry about offensively scoring. We mentioned Smitty. He's getting a great shot. Good guys. Now, Smitty has got the speed to make things happen. Now, if he ever learns to put all the chances he gets in the net, yes, that line will be clicking. But he's got to start. And you heard me throw this word out forever and a day, and sometimes with venom in it, sometimes with praise. Finish. There's got to be finish. Chances don't impress me anymore. Shots on nets don't impress me anymore. I want finish. Puck goes over the goal line in the net.
How much do you see those first two lines rotating around?
Probably
personnel-wise.
You know what? Coach Lav is not one that's opposed to changing it.
Right. No, he is not.
I'm not telling you anything I don't know. But he's not, and I love that. It's not carved in stone. Nothing says he's handing you a job. Smitty's not handed a job. He'll learn that spot. If he doesn't, you know full well Coach Lav will be looking, say, okay, what have we got to switch around? This year he has a few options. You know how young Sissons has come along. Bonino is going to be for us this year. I like what I see from Bonino early in training camp and late in training camp and now. I just think that the whole attitude, when I look down now, I feel more confident that when we were looking for a goal last year, where do we look every time? Well, is Arby and Joey and Forsey coming out, or are we just going to hope to hold them and get them a breather? Now we're not. Now I feel 1, 2, 3 can come out and score goals. Yes, we can.
Terry Crisp with us. Crispy, what do you think about the power play?
You know what? The power play, again, we're starting real games. Let's find out in real games what they're up against the best. You're not against half of American Hockey League team and a couple of tryout guys. You're against the best in the business now. This is their team, the NHL. Ask me that again in 5 games. I'll have a better answer for it. I mean, I could spout something off and give you a... No. Give me 5 games. We'll come back on, and I'll tell you what I think.
Well, it's like I said to Peter this morning, and I asked Duchesne, and they're similar questions in my opinion, but they're different things. And that is the power play, and that is Duchesne's play. And that is, if they don't score, like if the power play goes 0-for-3 tonight, are the fans are going to freak out. Now, we know the fans and the team are different, but I feel like the fans are going to freak out. If Duchesne goes a week and doesn't score to start the season, the fans are going to freak out. Like, my thing is, how do you know you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing, even if the results don't come immediately?
Confidence. Have faith in what you're doing. Have confidence in what you're trying to do as a team out there, and you know you'll pull out of it. The greatest example, and you're going to hear this for years, was the St. Louis Blues last year. Greatest example. They had faith in their team. It wasn't clicking last place, January. But they knew if they stuck with it, the coach came in and said, yes, you guys have got it. Here's doing it. And that's what we have to have. So if Duchesne says has a couple games where he doesn't get anything, hey, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. And we know that full well last year. Again, we win a division title out in the first round. That's not what we want. We want all the way.
The power play sounds to me like the biggest difference from a personnel standpoint is going from two defensemen to one. What is that, other than the obvious, which is you have more goal scorers out there, what is the difference philosophy?
None. None. The only nothing. Thing, here's the first thing they'll throw at you. Whoa. He's a forward. What if he gets caught back there on a one-on-one? He's going to get caught back there in a one-on-one if he's the forward on defense, playing the defensive position. Sure he is. But you're going to have confidence the guy's smart enough and veteran enough to handle that one-on-one. And the first thing the coaches tell him as a forward, don't worry about the puck on a one-on-one. You don't want the puck. You want the guy carrying it. That's what you want. Okay. You cannot knock the guy down, steal the puck, and lead a rush. That's not what we expect. Please, just take the man and take him out. But the other thing I like is if they get running in the other team's end, then suddenly you got, instead of a defenseman down in front or a defenseman holding the puck, you have another forward. It's the guy who come down off the point. He's a forward. He's not in unknown territory. He's been there before.
Terry, Chris, with us. Last one for you, Crispy. In my opinion, last one. Fabro. He goes up to the top four. What is the drop-off without PK this year defensively going to be? Because you can't tell me you just lose P.K. Subban.
No, I'm
and
not.
I love Fabro. But you can't just lose P.K. Subban and expect to have the same caliber of defense.
Exactly. And I'm not arguing that one, and I don't have a real ironclad answer for you on that. Yes, there are certain areas we're going to miss P.K. Subban. There are certain areas that young Fabro will make us stronger and better than what we were before. So time will, but in time, and I'm thinking around Christmas time, young Fabro will be one of the leaders on this team on defense. My opinion. Strictly mine.
Wow.
That is a take right
That's
there from
take.
Jerry Crisp. You know what? When I think of Fabro, I think of the fact that they drafted him in the first round. They drafted Sam Girard in the second round. Then they were willing to trade Sam Girard. And we see the career Sam Girard is starting to have in Colorado, and he got an extension. And, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I watched Sam Girard play, and I'm like, boy, that's a good player right there now. Which tells me that if they were going to draft Fabro ahead of him and they were going to trade him knowing they had Fabro, what they think of Fabro. And then Fabro comes in, and, you know, like, I think the Tolvanen situation's kind of burned me a little bit. Not that I don't think Tolvanen's going to be a good player, but I feel like the Tolvanen situation has burned me a little bit to where, like, everyone raves about Preds prospects, and I'm like, let me see him on the ice, play some games before I get all excited. I watched Fabro in that Dallas series last year, and I know he was playing third pair minutes. He held his own as well as anybody in that defensive core last year.
Total, and you know how I hate to finish this statement, in agreement with you. So that hurt me more. Gee, I was having a good day, GM, till I had to say this to him on the air, but I'm in total agreement with you. This kid got better and better and better, and he was looking more confident, and he sure hasn't slowed down any in training camp.
Okay, quickly, I know we're running out of time, but the part of the team that in December, January, whatever it's going to be, we're going to look at and we're going to go, wow.
Yep. And you know what I'm going to say? We're going to say wow. We might even have a wow from maybe another player or two up from Milwaukee that'll take a job or two, because we sent some good kids down to the Milwaukee that were right here knocking. So you know what? Great upside this year. Great look for our team. And like I said, they remember last year. That still sticks in their craw.
My man.
Good.
Terrence Arthur Crisp. Crispy, always appreciate it. How are business sales here at your new bar?
I'm not telling you. No, you'll want to share. Or you'll want a free round. Not a chance.
We'll see you, Crispy. Jared and the
Thanks,
GM
Crispy.
Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A big update, by the way, on the Buffalo quarterback situation. We'll get to that next. Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There's some plays that are similar, you know, core plays that Brian Daboll, that Brian likes. And we'll just kind of have to see each week. I think that there's some elements that change each week. When you look at them through, you know, the Jets or the Giants, Bengals, and then New England, there's some things that change, but you can kind of pull on them from different places. So we'll have to be ready for a lot of different things.
Brian Daboll's offense for the Buffalo Bills. Update on the quarterback situation, and that is Josh Allen, their starting quarterback, was limited again today in practice and is still in the concussion protocol. So tomorrow, my guess is, would be when they'd probably need to make a call on whether or not Josh Allen is going to play or whether the backup Matt Barkley will start. The other thing that has to be factored in is that the Bills have a bye week next week, so you wonder if Buffalo would look at the opportunity to rest Allen or to just not put Allen out there for 2 weeks and then go back to Allen after the bye. But, Floyd, how does this affect things if Buffalo plays Barkley instead of Allen, and who would you rather play? Because Allen has had a heck of a time this year turning the football over.
Yeah, I mean, Allen is a typical young quarterback. I mean, he's a runner. He's careless with the ball. Strong arm, you know. He's a gunslinger. He's going to go out there and take a shot, and you know, a majority of the time it's not a good shot, but take a shot, and that's where he's getting his interceptions and stuff. That being said, he's much more of a running threat. I mean, he's really a good athlete. So it's a matter of, you know, which one do you want to face. The veteran guy is not a runner, but, of course, is a much better passer, a much more accurate, less likely to turn it over passer.
So there's a reason why Matt Barkley has played on, like, 7 different teams in the NFL. And we know that reason is that he's just simply not good enough, which is fine. But I guess I'm looking at this, or where I'm coming to you on this, as far as Barkley is concerned, is that I feel like Barkley has a better shot to beat you through the air than, say, Allen. But Allen beat you last year. So I don't know how I should feel about these two, but I feel like you're probably better off playing Josh Allen only because you've got to play him for a game so you know what he's capable of. And if you play Josh Allen, he's probably going to turn the ball over. And you've done a good job so far this year of not turning the ball over. So I think I'd rather see Allen. I think you're going to get Barkley.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Barkley's a guy. And I think you bring up a good point about the bye next week. Because we all know the best thing you can do with concussion is to rest it, you know, give it another week off. And if you could give it 2 weeks off, then of course you're probably eliminate the problem. If you go back out like this week and catch another errant helmet or knee or anything else, I mean, you might be in trouble for a while, for an extended period of time. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. You know, I'm sure the kid wants to play, and I'm sure they want him to play. And I'm not sure, again, of all the hits that you see on a weekly basis that are helmet to helmet, I mean, I didn't think that was all that vicious.
Oh, that was bad hit.
I thought he hit him with his shoulder, you know.
I watched that 10 times after you said that. I have no idea where you came to the conclusion that he hit him with his shoulder. That was square helmet on helmet.
Oh, no. His helmet went in front.
Square.
His helmet went in front. Went in front of him. He had caught him with his right shoulder pad. Boom. Now, he caught him good with his shoulder pad. I will say that.
Oh, I think he caught him square in helmet to helmet. But again, who would you rather face? Who do you think gives them the better chance to win? I think it's Barkley. I think Matt Barkley gives the Buffalo Bills a better chance to win on Sunday than Josh Allen.
Well, I think it depends on, you know, as far from a defensive standpoint, he certainly creates more problems because of his throwing, eliminates some problems because of his running. And the other kid goes just the opposite. You know, so I think it depends on which one would you rather face. And the truth is, we've had trouble with backup quarterbacks, and we've had trouble with running quarterbacks. So I don't know. Whoever shows, that's who we got to play.
But who would you rather play?
I don't care.
You got to pick one.
That doesn't make
pick.
Any difference.
Who would you rather play, Allen or Barkley?
Doesn't make any difference.
Allen or Barkley? I just want to know.
Doesn't make any difference. Whoever shows, that's who it's going to be.
I think we've totally changes what you do as a team depending upon who the quarterback is.
Changes what you do on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it depends on, you know, do you want the quarterback that's not going to run on you or you, and stand back there and throw, which widens the what they can do on offense, or do you want the guy that's going to continue to run the ball like Gore is going to do and not throw as badly? Now, the young guy will give you a chance to get an interception or two, maybe.
Gore did not practice today. He was off with rest. So they gave him a rest day on Thursday. But he is old, so there is that. I was talking to Adam Vingan about this earlier today during practice this morning for the Preds. I am of the belief, like I have not decided yet, and I really do need to think. I really do need to think a lot about who I'm going to pick tomorrow on six-pack picks, Titans, Bills, when I make my official prediction. I think I'm leaning towards Buffalo. Like, and I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. I think it's going to be Barkley. But I am leaning towards taking Buffalo only because this just so feels like a game that the Titans generally lose. Like, this feels like the kind of game that the Tennessee Titans, you see all of the opportunity that is there by beating the Buffalo Bills without their starting quarterback and a team that has really struggled with turning the ball over, and it's a game that the Titans screw up. And when you add in Matt Barkley, I am starting to I have a really bad feeling about this. And maybe it's last year's Buffalo game.
Yeah, you're creased from last year or the year before or whenever it was.
It was last year. I mean, you went up to Buffalo and you did everything wrong that you had to do in order to lose. And that loss may have cost you the entire season. And I'm with you. I mean, the opportunity is there for the Titans if they win this game.
They need to obviously win. I mean, I just want them to get on a roll. I want them to just put something together.
I know, but as a GM, you know, can't you say you can't worry about that, though? Don't you have to focus on, like, the game-by-game thing? Like,
yeah, but, I mean, we won last week. So I am focused on this week. All I want to do is win this one, so that gives us one more two in a row, and then go from there next week.
You know what's interesting, though, is I think the fans are kind of like us. Like, last year, you had to preach, you know, hey, don't get too cocky. You're 3-1 going to Buffalo. Don't get too excited about it. And I said if the Titans were going to be the different Titans, if the Vrabel Titans were going to be different than the Malarkey Titans or the Munchak Titans, they were going to go to Buffalo and win, and they didn't. I don't feel like we have to preach that with the fans this year. I think they know what the Titans are capable of doing if they play crappy on Sunday against Buffalo. Like, I think they are very aware of the possibility of losing this game and losing it badly.
And I think that's true with any, you know, middle-of-the-run caliber player. I mean, that's the way it works.
There are like 800 entries into this Pete and Terry's Tavern game ticket-winning thing. But first, let's load up your phones for Ask the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is coming up next, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Anything for Floyd, football and hockey are both on the table. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM. 615-737-1025. The best question for Floyd: we win a pair of tickets to see Bastille at the Municipal Auditorium on Tuesday, October 22nd. That is Bastille at the Municipal Auditorium Tuesday, October 22nd for the best call for Floyd. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is next. It's Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. Congratulations to Julia Davis, who is going to the game tonight. She's our final winner of the drawing for two tickets tonight here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Congratulations to Julia Davis. You have won two tickets, and our people will be, I guess, in contact with you. I don't know how that works. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. Ask the GM is next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.